Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Comedian Kathleen Madigan is bringing her national tour to St. Louis this Saturday with a performance at the Peabody Opera House. Madigan is no stranger to St. Louis. She's from here, and her career also began here. She has a long list of accolades that includes a few comedy specials on Netflix, several late-night talk show appearances, and she was recently on an episode of Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. I spoke recently with Madigan, and I first asked how difficult or easy it is for her to play in her hometown.
Well, it's a lot of fun. It's a little more work than if I was in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and I don't know anyone. But it's also a lot more fun because everybody comes out. And although I'm in big trouble this year because I did not pay attention that this is the opening weekend of deer season. And I really didn't think that out. I said, you know, I thought, what if the Cardinals are in the World Series? We can't do these weekends. I thought I would pick a good weekend. My uncles and my dad would lead you to believe otherwise.
So the audience is going to be smaller because everybody's going to be deer hunting. Is that your fear?
No, they can make it back by Saturday. I said, you can give up Saturday evening. You just get back to St. Louis by Saturday. They'll be there.
Well, St. Louis and Missouri is a fairly large part of your routines these days, isn't it?
Well, I do a lot of jokes about it. Yeah, just because stuff keeps coming up. There's not many of us from Missouri, like me and Cedric and Greg Warren. You know, it's not like there's a million New York comics and there's a million L.A. comics, but there's not many representing the Midwest, so I'll be in charge of that.
Do you think that people, as you travel around the country, misunderstand the Midwest?
Yeah, I don't. Well, half of them don't even know, like, where it is. I mean, even some agents in L.A., when they'll go, well, we booked you in Ohio, and then I had a thing in New Hampshire because they're over there. I'm like, well, no, they're not really. They're not really over there. Yes, technically they're over there, but, yeah, they don't really. I think they just mesh it all together. I remember one time I did a Comedy Central half-hour special a long time ago, and the background they chose for me was just wheat with a silo. And I go, well, what's that? And they go, well, you're from, like, one of those states, right? I was like, well, I mean, that would be Kansas or Nebraska. And I'm from St. Louis, which is actually a city. But I said, fine, keep it. I don't care. It's fine. And I'd rather have the arch or something, but it was a little too late in production time. That's just what they think, though, when I say Missouri. That's what they clearly what they picture.
We have a clip, Kathleen, that we would like to play. You'll be able to hear it. Concerning a part of your routine, it's the one currently playing on Netflix, by the way. We'll talk about that. But here's a taste of what you say about Missouri and your routine.
It's not a very exciting state, Missouri. It's really just in the middle. Clearly, though, to Southerners, it's not. I was in Birmingham, Alabama. I get done with the show, and this guy's at the bar, and he goes, ma'am, I can tell by the way you talk, you're a Yankee. I'm like, sir, I'm from Missouri. And let me tell you this little piece of history. I don't even know if we were in the war. I think we were half and half and just beat the crap out of one another. We never even left our own property, sir. Fight local. That was our bumper sticker. Fight local.
Ah, very, very funny. And that's from something that's playing right now on Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah, I love Netflix, too, because it's just the millennials running it, and they really, they do a great job, and they don't really care. They're like, just send us your stuff, and we'll post it on Thursday. And I just go, okay, and they do it. They don't ask any questions. I'm not even sure they ever watched it, and I don't care. That's fine, too. It's just so much better than, like, HBO or Showtime. You have to, the legal people have to look at it to make sure you're not saying things that could get them sued and this and that. And there's all these, this whole process. And Netflix, they don't really care. It's just great. It's really great for us.
It really has taken off in the last couple of years in particular. But I have a quote here from you with regard to Netflix and what they're doing. You say regular TV had better watch out. What do you mean?
Well, I really believe that. Like the networks, like the big monster networks, NBC and CBS and ABC, they're so arrogant because they've been in charge for so long that I don't think they think these upstarts can ever crush them. and they're crushing them, and they're not even responding. Like, they're super duper slow to respond, but like, you know, a sitcom, there's less people watching sitcoms on NBC than there are binge watching on Hulu or Netflix or Amazon Prime. They're just getting left in the dirt, and they will not. There's no flexibility with them. Zero. And I think that's going to, in the end, you know, unless they super quickly get with the program, they're going to pay for that. I mean, it's just not going to work out.
I don't know when you have time to watch TV, cable or otherwise, or your telephone. You're on the road all the time. You do 250 dates a year. That's an incredible pace, it seems to me.
It's a lot of going, but I'm used to it. I mean, I've been doing it since I was 23, so this to me is normal life. Like, my sister had twins a while back, and I stayed there at her house to help her for like 3 weeks. And by the middle of that third week, I was like, okay, I'm ready to go now. Is this what's going to happen for the next 2 years? You're just going to get up, feed them, and then they nap, and then we feed them again. And I'm like, oh my God, this would drive me crazy. I need to keep moving. I like to keep moving. So I take summers off, and I basically head down to the lake at the Ozarks and hang out there for the summer and just, you know, goof off. But the rest of the year, it's go, 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 go.
Obviously, you're very successful and had a wonderful career. My question to you is, how difficult was it for you, or how difficult is it for people to get out of St. Louis and to get to the point where you are? I mean, there's so much competition. There's so many people who want to be you and who want to go to Hollywood and go to New York. How difficult is it to get out?
Well, it's not. I think it's best if you're young and kind of naive. Because, like, I don't know that I could have done it at 35. But at 23, I didn't know anything. So I just got in the car and went out on the road, and then, you know, to L.A. and New York, and you just meet other, like, if you're a music person, I'm sure the music, I follow Nico Smith, Ozzy's son, the singer, like, and he's getting his way out to L.A., and you just meet other people in your field, and we all figure it out. Like, all my comedian friends are from Texas and Ohio and Missouri and Illinois. Like, nobody, I don't know hardly anybody that's from L.A. or New York. We all just go where the work is, and it's not as hard as you think. I think it's hard if you already have a bunch of responsibilities, like a bunch of kids and bills and all that stuff. But if you're young and you don't have anything anyway, like, I had nothing to lose. And I told my parents, look, if this doesn't work out, I'll give it 2 years. I'll be 25. I'm sure I can come back to St. Louis and be gainfully employed. It's not like the end of the world. Like, and my parents were very supportive of, you guys should all go try to do what you want to do. You don't want to spend a lifetime doing something you don't want to do. So go give it a shot. And then, you know, you tried. So it's not as hard as people think. It's just, to think of it when you're young, you got to, like, kind of narrow it down and go, okay, what do I really want to go for? And then try.
How did you know when you had made it?
I've never really thought I've made it till recently, where I can, like, I can do a show and give the money back. You know, I can go take a week and do cystic fibrosis or autism shows for nothing and be happy that I can, and not have to worry about, well, shoot, I should be making money this week to pay the bills. But if the bills are already paid, that's a nice feeling. I mean, when people go, well, money doesn't buy happiness, I'm like, well, it certainly buys less stress. Let's put it that way, which I would define as a bit of happiness.
Is this a good time for comics? It seems to me people are in need of a few laughs these days, maybe more than a few laughs. But is it a good time for comics?
It really is. And, like, I know, like, I'm not really a political comedian per se. Like, Lewis Black would be considered that or whatever. But, I mean, I do Trump jokes, but I do Bernie jokes, and I do Hillary jokes. I think it's wonderful if you can, as long as you talk about everybody, keep it a fair playing field. And most of the things I'm saying are absurd. It's not like I'm really, you know, I'm not really trying to change anybody's mind, or I'm just pointing out the absurdity of all of it, which there's a ton of. It's certainly a lot of material as far as the news goes. And everybody's kind of paying attention because Trump is very loud. Like, Obama said nothing, and Trump says everything. So, Like, let's say Mitt Romney or Jeb Bush had won. You know, I don't know. There's really not much to joke about. They're just regular Republican, you know, guys. Or I don't know, Bernie's pretty easy to make fun of, and Hillary's easy to make fun of. But if it was just a boring guy, I don't think it would be as interesting. That doesn't mean good or bad, but interesting, yes.
Can you give us an example of one of your absurdities?
Well, I did think it was funny at the inauguration. I said to my sister, I said, I don't think this is going to be very much fun for Melania because Trump doesn't, when they go to these parties tonight, Donald doesn't drink. And my sister was like immediately alarmed. And she goes, what do you mean? I go, he doesn't drink alcohol. She goes, what happened? I said, only in this Irish Catholic family would you assume there was an event of such magnitude that he was asked by a judge or a family member to never drink again. I said, I don't know. Nothing. I don't think anything happened. His older brother died of alcoholism. And she goes, right, but that's not him. I said, I know. You're preaching to the choir. I would still try and drink. But I think it's strange that I understood why Mitt Romney, because he's a Mormon, and that's not their thing. They don't want to drink. But I think it's odd. I think that's when people go, why is he tweeting all day? Because he's never hungover. That's why. Because he goes to bed at a normal hour and he doesn't drink and he's up at Adam at 6 a.m. for better or worse. I mean, if I didn't drink sometimes, I'd probably get a lot more done, but I wouldn't have as much fun. So, you know, there's just a lot of, I thought it was absurd that Bernie's clothes always were so ill-fitting. Especially when he looks like a tailor. I'm like, come on, Bernie, get a hem. What's going on? They're $5. There was just a million things in this election where you're literally day by day. It was hard to even keep up where you're like, well, that's absurd. That's absurd. His behavior in the debates, even when Jeb Bush was like looking at the moderators going, can he do that? Yeah, he can, Jeb. Yeah. And he's going to keep doing it. So unless you have some yo mama jokes, you better get off the stage because he's not going to stop insulting you. And the fact they couldn't even, like, process it. The men on the stage, men, women. Carly Fiorina was there, too. And he just boom, 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 boom. It was like he turned it into a reality show, which he is great at, and he won. I mean, it's absurd, as somebody who's followed politics my whole life, to witness that, where you have all these normal politicians and then this guy comes in from left field and wow, like a Macy's Day float that got loose, just boom, boom. I mean, and they literally had no idea what to do with that. Yeah, so I must say it's the most interesting year I've ever seen in politics.
Well, imagine if he were a drinker. that might change a lot of things. By the way, I have a note here from the producer saying, after a recent show in St. Louis, he understands your family bought out all the Budweiser products at the bar. Come on.
Yeah, it was a few times ago when I had a big show and we went to a bar, and I won't mention the name because I don't want them to feel bad that they ran out of Bud Light and Budweiser, but they did, and there was like almost some sort of uprising. And I'm like, look, they're not going to drink non-union beer, so I don't know what we're going to do, but you're going to need to get in a car and go to Schnucks or Kroger, whatever is open, and buy all the Bud Light that they have.
You've got all the local names down, that's for sure. No one can mistake the fact that you're a hometowner, Kathleen Madigan.
No one else has Schnucks. Nobody else has Dierbergs.
No one else has Schnucks. That's absolutely true. You also have done a number of USO tours. And I guess that's a little bit different when you're performing in front of homesick guys and gals.
Yeah, but they're so excited. Like we did Iraq and Afghanistan and Pakistan, and you're on these bases and these war zones, and they are so appreciative, and they're so happy anybody showed up. And then at the one base in Afghanistan, the guy in charge, I don't know what his rank was, said, somebody here is from Missouri. I said, I am. And I thought, oh, no, what does this mean? Why am I getting singled out? He goes, oh, well, the whole Missouri National Guard is here. You're gonna have to go down and meet those guys. I said, and women. I said, that's awesome. I said, what are they? And then I went down, and we were trying, the Missouri National Guard, we were trying to teach the Afghanis how to farm, like, corn and stuff. And I'm like, that's awesome, but they're farming heroin, and I'm going to bet that heroin is worth more than the corn. And even the people involved were like, we know, but this is what we were told to do. I said, I get it. But it was great to meet everybody from all, there was like 40 of them from Missouri. It was awesome.
Well, you've worked with some pretty big names, and I know that you've done relatively recently the bit with Jerry Seinfeld and the Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee bit, which is apparently working pretty well for him. Was it at all intimidating? I mean, Seinfeld's got quite a reputation for you know, his success. Intimidating for you to be spending time with him and cracking jokes with another comic?
No, because we've all, that's the thing about comedians, which is good. Mostly good, occasionally bad, but mostly good. We've all known each other for 25 years. So, like, Jerry to me is just Jerry. Like, I do realize he's very famous, but, like, if he calls me, it's just Jerry. Like, I don't go, oh, my God, you know, only because we've all known each other so long that if you know, sometimes I go golf with Ron White and people get really excited, which I understand. But in my mind, that's Ron who lived in a van outside the Funny Bone in Westport in St. Louis. Hmm. Like, Ron lived in a van. That's when I met him. Like, I understand everybody got famous and makes money and all that stuff. But you're still the person I met 25 years ago. And really, nobody's changed. I mean, everybody is the same exact same version of themselves. So, you know, hanging out with Jerry, like, I joke around, I go, this is why we're not friends, Jerry, because he likes cars and I like to go fishing. He's never going to go fishing. Huh. It's never going to happen. He's never going to go to the Ozarks. He's not that guy. I mean, we know each other well enough to know I like to work with you, but when we're off, I'm going to go call Ron White. He knows that, and he's fine with that.
That's comedian and St. Louis native Kathleen Madigan. She performs this Saturday evening at the Peabody Opera House. And for more information, visit stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. By the way, a local comedy festival starts tomorrow and runs through Saturday. The Flyover Comedy Festival is happening in The Grove. We also have information about that on our website. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.